In Sunday school, we looked at Luke chapter number 11, and we kind of really emphasized and talked about the parable used or the illustration used by Christ to teach us, the disciples, how to pray. Not much focus was given to the first four verses on that, which is probably the second most well-known passage of Scripture, or at least the most well-known prayer. I think maybe John 3:16 might be more well-known, but as far as the most well-known prayer, the Lord's Prayer in the Word of God. We really didn't take much time to look at that prayer. If you would, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter number 11. These first four verses give us the Lord's Prayer. I usually read, and you follow along, and this morning we're going to change it up a little bit. I'm going to ask you to read with me. Now, this is not the passage where you normally read the Lord's Prayer, or you might have memorized it from, so you're going to have to pay attention. If you have it memorized, there's a couple small things that are changed in this passage. And so you might watch for those and say, that's not right, but it's right. It's just not the particular passage you're used to looking at. But look here, follow along with me. Let's read the first four verses, Luke chapter number 11, starting with verse number 1 and reading through verse number 4. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The structure of this outline is not original with me. I actually was given this by a man who's preached in this pulpit a number of years ago. And as I attempt to preach it this morning, I hope that it's a blessing to you as it was to me. The fact of the matter is we're living in a day today where over 50% of the young people alive today will spend a large majority of their childhood from birth to the age of 18 without their father. Their father won't be in the picture. Now, the sad fact is many of those is because that individual was not man enough to do his responsibility, to fulfill. He was man enough to give birth to a child, but not man enough to remain and stay and be a dad and do his job, his responsibility that was given to him. And he shirked that and walked away from his responsibility, left a wife and left children without a dad. But that's not all cases. There are some children whose dads maybe gave their lives sacrificially on the battlefield for the freedoms that we enjoy here in America. There are some situations maybe whose children are without their father because of a tragic accident. And now this young men, young lady are being raised without their dad, and sometimes it's because of an unexplained illness. But I want to encourage you this morning and at the same time challenge you. I want to encourage you this morning that you have a heavenly Father. If life's circumstances, whatever they may be, have brought you to the place in your life where you are going through your days without a father, I want to remind you, you have a heavenly Father. If you feel at times there's no daddy to love you, I want you to know you've got a heavenly Father who longs to love you. If at times in your life you're looking and you just wish there was a man who could give you direction, a man who could give you leadership, a man who could tell you what to do next, I want you to know your Heavenly Father longs to lead you. He is always there. Your Heavenly Father, and I know from experience that in the quiet of the night, when you are maybe at your lowest, it is possible to feel the presence of your Father in such a powerful way, it's almost as though He wrapped physical arms around you. Because I've been there. I've felt and known His presence in that powerful of a way. I want you to know you've got a Heavenly Father that's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. As Jesus answered the request of the disciples to teach them to pray, He goes on to give this lesson on prayer, but in so doing, He also teaches them about His Father. You see, one of the reasons why Jesus could pray so powerfully, why Jesus could pray so effectively, was because of how close He was to the Father. I'd say, you want to know how to pray, get close to the Father. Jesus had that close relationship with His Father. And so, as He was teaching about how to pray, He also was teaching about the Father. And this morning, I want to take not necessarily a lesson on prayer, but I want to look at what we learn about the Father, that Jesus tells us about the Father. And then I want to take that and apply it to us as fathers. And maybe we can learn, as I've titled the message this morning, how to follow the Father. If we could follow the Father's example, wouldn't that be a worthy ambition? A worthwhile task, something to endeavor to do? To be a dad or to be a father like our Heavenly Father? Amen? That's what we're going to try and do as we look at this familiar text and these words that you all know so well, but maybe apply them in a little bit different way. First of all, I want you to see that He's a personal Father. Our Heavenly Father is a personal Father. And He said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father. Say, Our Father. He doesn't say the Father. Or say just Father. He says, say Our Father. This implies a relationship. I think it implies more than just a relationship because you see, God is not just a supernatural being that is out there that we have the ability to come to in our hour of need, that we can go to. He is a supernatural being. He is powerful, but that is not all. He is also our Father. It implies not just a relationship, but it implies fellowship. Fellowship, a close relationship with the Father. Because Jesus was the Son of God, we too can become the sons of God. You see, because of who He was when Jesus gave His life as sacrificially on the cross for you and I, died, was buried, and rose again. If we put our faith and trust in Him, we can become the sons of God. You see, there's a relationship that is started where we can actually say, Our Father. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. If you receive Jesus Christ, you can become a son of God. Can I ask you this morning, just as we're kind of getting going here, can I ask you, is He your Father? Is He your Father? All right, there's like six of you. How about the rest of you? Is He your Father? I hope that you know that beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's been a time in your life where you've trusted Jesus Christ, where you've accepted Him and you became a son of God. I didn't ask you, do you know about God? I didn't ask you, have you read the Bible? Or have you been in church? Or have you been baptized? Or have you ever been confirmed or took communion? I asked you, is he your father? I'll tell you what, I text my dad this morning and said, Happy Father's Day, Dad. And there is no question in my mind, you couldn't convince me any different. It is irrefutable fact of life that Roger Bottrell is my father. Do you know that positively that he's your father? I hope so. But listen, if he's your father, can I ask you, do you have fellowship with him? You see, a very sad thing about today is that many children have a father biologically. This man is their dad, but they don't have much of a relationship. You understand what I'm saying? They're not taking any time together. Could I encourage you, dads, if you have children in here that you have the ability to spend time with that are still in your home or still in your life, take time with your children. Our Father, it's a personal relationship. It's a relationship that implies more than just the fact that we've been born into the family of God. What a sad thing that so many people have fire insurance. All they've done is trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior that they might escape the penalty of hell. But they are robbing themselves of the blessing of knowing their Father personally, getting to know Him and spending time with Him in prayer and in His Word. That's what our Heavenly Father wants. He longs to spend time with us, to fellowship with us. What about you, Dad? Do you long to spend time with your children? Do you long to fellowship with them? Do you long to get to know them, to have a relationship that's beyond just, oh, he's my son, but a relationship that is close, that is fellowship with him? Dad, take time with your children. Take time. You know, you have a plan at work. You have an objective. At work, you've systematically laid out in your mind what you've got to do, how you're going to accomplish it, what your schedule is, and in your mind, you're thinking about and organizing and thinking and planning for what has to happen there. What about in home? Does life at home just happen? Or do you have a plan? Do you have a plan to spend time with your kids? If you do it right, you see, your kids will rise up and they'll call you blessed. If you do it right, one day your kid will be standing off in a distance and you might just barely be able to hear them with pride in their heart say, that's our Father. Is it sitting home? Is it connecting with you? That's the relationship we have with our Heavenly Father. And if we're going to follow His example, then we need to be building that same thing into our lives. Let me just throw this out there. Kids, take time with your Father. Take time with your Father. You do not know how much longer you'll have your Father to spend time with. Dad says, hey, you want to run to the store? Nah, I'm going to play with my Legos. Listen, there's nothing wrong with playing with Legos. But you've got an opportunity to be with Dad. Your dad's saying, hey, come and be with me. Take advantage of it, kids. You don't know when by God's providence He might be taken from you. And you won't have the opportunity to hold Him, to sit with Him, or talk to Him anymore. Our Father. It's a relationship. It's a personal relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. Not only that, He's a personal Father, but He's a preeminent Father. A preeminent Father. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. He is high and he is lifted up. He's sitting in heaven because he is God. Because he is the creator of the universe. Because he is preeminent. He is the most important one. He ought to be superior in our life, above everything else, lifted up in our life. God is preeminent. Can I ask you, is he preeminent in your life? Does he hold a preeminent position in your life? To be preeminent means to be first, to be prominent, to be above all else. Is God preeminent in your life? You know the greatest gift that you can give your Heavenly Father today on Father's Day? The greatest gift you can give your Heavenly Father. You know what? I got a text this morning from my daughter. She says, the greatest gift I've ever had came from God, and I call him Dad. What a great gift to receive a text like that. But you know what? The greatest gift you can give your Heavenly Father? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. The greatest gift that you can give your Heavenly Father is say, God, here am I. Not my will, but thine be done. Whatever you want, Lord, because you are preeminent in my life. Is God preeminent in your life? Does he hold that high place? Kids, your father should have a high place in your heart. A high place in your life. You should value and appreciate him. He should be right up there. Now listen, we know that you shouldn't put father or mother or brother or sister in front of God. So God should come first, but dad should be right up there. Amen, dads? Dad should be right up there. Kids, let me encourage you. Don't let some stupid video game take the place in your heart for your father. Don't let a friend take the place in your heart that was for your dad. The place in your heart that you respected your dad, you loved your dad, you wanted to be with your dad, but now you could care less about your dad and you want to spend time with this friend. You've got to guard against that. Because that is the normal, natural progression of life where your heart begins to drift away. And listen, dads, a lot of that is our fault as parents. Because we don't take time with them. You cannot expect your child who spends all of his time with his friends. Listen, kids spell love the way anybody else does. It's T-I-M-E. You've got to take time with them. You've got to spend time with them to keep their heart when they're young. That way, when they're older, you'll have it. But you got to keep doing it. But kids, you need to guard against it as well, because the devil would love to have that place that dad should have in your heart replaced with some game or some friend or some activity that you value more than your own father. Let's bring it back to the Christians here, to our Heavenly Father. Can I ask you, does God have a preeminent place in your heart? Or have you let some stupid game, some activity, some job, something here in life take that place which should be reserved for our Heavenly Father? He's a preeminent Father. Not only that, you guys want the next one? It's a little dim in here. Are you guys falling asleep on me? He's a praise-worthy Father. He is praise-worthy. He says, hallowed be thy name. He is a praise-worthy Father. I'll tell you what, his name is praise-worthy. Could we stop for just a moment and praise God? Because God is good. God is good all the time. All the time, God is. He is faithful. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is praiseworthy. He can be lifted up. We can praise Him. We can extol His name to others. He's a strong and mighty tower. He is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord is our provider. He is Jehovah Rapha. The Lord is our healer. He is Jehovah Nisi. The Lord is our banner. The El Shaddai, our God, the Almighty. He's praiseworthy. Amen. Amen. Can I apply that to us? Dad, are you praiseworthy? Or do your children have to make excuses for why you're not at church? Or do our children have to make excuses for why you didn't do this or don't do that, or why you lost your temper and lost control, and why you go and do these kind of activities when you know it's not good for your family? Do your children have to make excuses to their friends or to their neighbors or to other people at church? Or are you praiseworthy? Can your children praise you? Will your children praise you because you're a hard worker? Will your children praise you because you're honest? Because you're real? Because you're a man of integrity? A man who lives a disciplined life? One who loves God? Upright and eschews evil? Who is that said about in the Word of God? He was upright and eschewed evil. Job. What about you, Father? Hey, praise God, we have a praiseworthy Heavenly Father. But are we as fathers praiseworthy? Listen, I know we're setting the banner pretty high here this morning. I know you're looking at me like, Pastor, come on, we're talking about God. And you're telling me to be like him. I mean, I know we're setting it high. I think somewhere in the scripture, though, it says, be ye perfect. Doesn't it say that? Even as your what? Oh. Listen, I know we're setting the banner high. You know, when the Word of God says perfect, it means complete, mature. God doesn't require sinless perfection from us, but He requires faithfulness, honesty, being real. You know what? Your children don't require you to be perfect either. But are you trying? Just like we says in our mission statement, God is not as concerned with where you're at as He is with where you're going. That's my heartbeat. I love it. Because every one of us find ourselves in places where we don't want to be. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Sometimes we look and we say, man, how did I end up here? Praise God, we don't have to stay there. We just have to go towards God. Are you praiseworthy? He's also a promising Father. He's a promising Father. He says, thy kingdom come. God has made us many promises in the Word of God, and one of those is that one day He's going to come again. The Apostle Paul said that he was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Are you fully persuaded that the promises that God has made unto you are real and true and God can do it? I hope you are. I hope that you found your God to be true and honest and fulfill any promises that He has made unto you. God has promised you that He would forgive you of your sin if you just ask Him. God has promised you that He will answer your prayers when you come to Him in your hour of need. God has promised you He would be a friend that's just closer than a brother. God has promised you that the Scriptures is full of promises that we can hold on to because He's a promising Father. He's promised you that He would come again. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you. That where I am, there you may be also. He's going to come again. He's away right now preparing a place. But He's going to come again one day. Thy kingdom come. Let me ask you this. We got to apply it. If our Heavenly Father is a promising Father and He fulfills His promises all the time, He never fails. How you doing, Dad? Oops. How you doing on the promises that you've made? Let's go all the way back to the beginning. I promise to thee wed, to love and cherish, to honor and obey, till death do us part. How you doing on that promise, Dad? How you doing? You still love her like you did? You still cherish her in sickness and in health? You've been a little distracted. What about the promises to our children that we've made? I'll tell you what, one of the greatest damages to your authority is when you make a promise and don't fulfill it. Your children begin to come to get to the place where they just say, well, Dad said it, but it doesn't mean anything. Man, how sad. How sad. I hope when you make a promise, you know, it's better not to make a promise at all than to promise something and not do it. You've got to fulfill, no matter what it takes, you have got to fulfill it if you promised it. We've got a promising Father. He sets the example. He's a promising Father. How are you doing on the promises you've made? He's a powerful Father. He says, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. God's will is going to be done. You know, God's will is done perfectly, succinctly, every time in heaven, without question. But you know, here on earth, because of sin, for right now, God's will is upset at times because He's given man a free choice. But do you know, ultimately, God will work out His will. He has all authority and all power. And although He has given you a free choice, God is in control. One day, friend, every knee is going to bow and every tongue will confess. Revelation says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Hey, God has all authority. Now, I know this goes against modern thinking, but I want you to understand that according to the Word of God, Dad, you are put in authority in the home. You have the authority in the home. But do you know what that means? That means you also have the responsibility. With that authority comes the responsibility. God has given you that authority, but you got a responsibility to train up a child in the way he should go. Not train up a child in whatever way. Not train up a child in how you think, but in the way that God would want him to go. His arrows in the mighty hand, God says. We point them in a direction. We're supposed to be raising them with purpose. And God has given us a manual how to do it. We need to be investing a little bit of time into learning the right way so that we can train them. He's also a providing Father. Give us day by day our daily bread. Aren't you glad this morning that God's a providing Father? that we can call on Him, that He does meet our need, that He does give us day by day our daily bread. You know, one guy said, actually I think it was Pastor Allison, he said that he was doing this Atkins diet until he found out that it was not biblical. Because you're not supposed to eat bread. And he says, God told me to pray every day for my daily bread. So he says, done with that Atkins diet. Forget that, man. Forget the no carbs. That's not biblical. I got to pray every day for my bread. Amen. Hey, God provides. He comes in and He provides for us. You follow God and do what God wants you to do, He'll bless you so much, you're embarrassed about it. He's a providing Father. You know where I'm going. I don't even have to apply it. You're there already. Dad, you're supposed to be a provider. Now, I know in today's world with the cost of living and all that, many times mom has to work as well. But you understand that you've been given the God-given responsibility to provide for your home. Yes, you're supposed to provide financially, but you're also supposed to be providing spiritually. Supposed to be leading the family. Fulfilling that responsibility with the authority that's been given you to lead them spiritually. Do you bring them to church or just send them to church? Do you have a time of devotions? Do you read your Bible? Do you counsel them in the way they should go? Do you lead spiritually? Hey, you've been given the responsibility to provide for your family. I love this next one. This is awesome. And forgive us our sins. He's a pardoning Father. He's a pardoning Father. God forgives us our sins. He forgives our trespasses. He forgives our sin, no matter even if we sin again and again and again. If we come and we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it doesn't matter how many times we come. Listen, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. No, we don't want to do that. But should we, by the slip of our human nature and the frailty of our old flesh, fall into sin again, we can come back to our Father and ask for forgiveness. He's a forgiving Father. He's a pardoning Father. Hallelujah. My, what a mess I would be in if He wasn't a forgiving Father. Listen, I'm not worthy to stand up here and to preach and present the Word of God. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, a pile of dirt, talking to a bunch of piles of dirt. But because God is a forgiving Father and He'll use any one of us, I can be washed clean and be right with my Father. Can we apply this? Dad, are you holding a grudge? Did your son lose your favorite wrench? Did your son take your brand new hammer outside and leave it, and it got all rusty? And every time you go to use that hammer, you think, man, that boy ruined this hammer. Did he borrow something and not return it? Did she do something and you're holding it against her? Did your wife say something? Not do something? Is something happened in your home that you're holding on to? Listen, our Father is a pardoning Father. He's a forgiving Father. Are you forgiving? If we're going to follow His example, we have got to be forgiving, bad dads. Who are you to hold a grudge? Who are you to hold something over somebody else? We're just sinners, and man, God has forgiven us of so much. How could we hold that little thing over one of our children or against our mate? You want to know if you've forgiven somebody? How high of a place do you put them in your heart? You see, we don't want to give somebody a place of value in our heart. We don't want to lift them up whenever we are holding something against them. In our mind, we talk them down. We bring them down. We bring them down. We want to devalue them. And do you understand what that's doing to your relationship? You bring them down because you're holding that grudge. Our Heavenly Father's a pardoning Father. He forgives us. Do you completely and utterly forgive your children or your wife or others? Listen, God's not going to hear our prayer when we have unforgiveness in our heart. He's a pardoning Father. He's a protecting Father. He says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God protects us. He's a protecting Father. Lead us not into temptation. Now, you know, of course, because you understand the Word of God, and you know that God does not tempt any man. This is a prayer. This is a request here saying, God, would you protect me from evil? Would you keep me from the wiles of the devil? Would you put a hedge about me and don't let Satan get his darts into me? Would you keep me from temptation that I might be pulled away? Would you protect me, Lord? Our Heavenly Father is a protecting Father. He puts up a hedge. He protects us. Are you a protecting Father? Do you protect your children? I'm not talking about this modern idea where dad goes and fights the children's fights for them. You know, you're down the street arguing with the 4-year-old neighbor kid because he pushed your 7-year-old. Okay, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about protecting them from evil. Protecting them from the wickedness of this world that would get in and destroy their heart and life. Destroy the simple innocence of a child. Children today are not innocent anymore. Their innocence has been robbed from them, been stolen from them by society and the filth that they're exposed to. Children discussing and talking about things that married people would be embarrassed to discuss with each other. In this wicked world. Dad, are you a protector? Do you have some type of internet protection on your home? If you have internet coming into your house and you have children there, you as a parent have a responsibility before God to have some type of a filter on that because of the filth that is available to them. Listen, one of these Sunday nights I'm going to get into and talk about modern social media and cell phones and give you some things on how to protect your children. But listen, you better have something. Over 70% of children are exposed to pornography before the age of 10. That's mind-boggling. Parents, we've got to protect them. We can't let them be exposed to that. Hey, they're children. They have a human nature, a sin nature, just like you. Why would you think they're not interested? They are interested. And they will pursue it if you don't have some type of protection there. Are you careful what comes across that television? The screen that they get to watch, the movies they get to watch. Are you conscious of what's being taught in the things that they watch? Listen, I've got to hurry. We could park here a long time. Even in simple cartoons, if you stop and think about what's being taught, you understand that the child in this cartoon is standing in defiance against authority or against his parents? And you're letting your children just sit there and learn how to do that? Listen, they're going to know enough of that all on their own. They don't need instructions. I'm not even talking about filth. I'm just talking about the kind of life lessons that are being taught. How to steal. How to get away with it. I'm going to go on, but listen, we've got a protecting Father, and I'm so glad I can call on Him for protection. Not just physical protection from harm out in the world when I'm driving my car or I'm out in an unsafe place. When we were in India, my wife and I, we stayed at a hotel, and it was a rough neighborhood. It was rough. The next morning, we were there all by ourselves, and Brother Pratt and his family, they're like 25 minutes from us by car. And they come, and they're in Jeeps. You know, we get there in the morning, and he says, okay, did you feel safe last night? And I said, Brother Pratt, I said, I'm trusting you, man. I said, if you told me this hotel's safe, I'm going to stay here. I didn't think about it one bit. I just stayed here. Little did I know it probably was. He's like, well, I don't usually put people in that hotel, but that was the only one available right now. I said, well, thanks, Brother Brian. I appreciate that. Well, praise God, we were safe. There's no problems. Hey, listen, in times like that, we can call on God for protection. We can call on God to protect us from the wiles of the devil. Dad, how are you doing on protecting your children? How are you doing on protecting them? God's a personal father. He's a preeminent father, praiseworthy father, promising father, powerful father, providing father, and a protecting father. Hey, we can praise God. We have all that in our Heavenly Father. And we're reminded this morning about the goal to try and be like Him, that we might be that kind of a father for our family. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Let me ask you this morning, how are you doing? We began and talked about its fact that our Father's, it's a personal relationship. It starts with knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt, just as much as I know Roger Bottrell is my father. If you're here this morning and you can say, I know God is my father, I know Him that much, would you show me by an uplifted hand and say, I know God's my father? All over the house. There's some that couldn't raise your hand. You can put your hands down. Could I ask you, if you're here this morning and you say, you know what, I don't have that kind of assurance that God is my father. Pastor Caleb, would you pray for me? Would you just show me by an uplifted hand? I'm not going to ask anything of you, but would you just show me by an uplifted hand and say, I'm not sure. Listen, let me tell you that you can know. If you have the courage to, I would implore you to, in a minute, come out, come down and meet me in the front. We'll have somebody take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that He's your Father. You receive Jesus. To them gave He power to become the sons of God. We'll take a minute and show you that, how you can know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Would you come in just a moment? I'm going to pray. Let me ask you one more question. If you're here this morning and say, God spoke to my heart. I don't know how, maybe God stirred your heart about being the right kind of a father. Maybe God spoke to your heart about recognizing and acknowledging the Father that you have in heaven. If God spoke to your heart this morning, would you show me by an uplifted hand? Say, Pastor Caleb, would you pray for me? God spoke to me this morning. God spoke to me all over the house. Thank you so much for your honesty before God. Lord, we come to you right now. We ask you, Lord, that you would be with this moment of invitation. I pray, God, that every heart would yield to you, those that need to respond and make an adjustment or a change in their life, that they need to take a step to be more like what you want us to be. I pray, God, they would do that. And Lord, we ask you here this morning that you would give courage and strength to those who don't know you as their Father, that they would come and see from the Word of God how they could make that decision to be made a son of God, to be assured that you're their Father today. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.